Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Well, we have made it. We've made it to the end of the book of Romans. I hope that it's been a blessing to you like it has been to me. The book of Romans is a wonderful collection. It's really the best location in one spot that talks about the depth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it just does this in such an amazing way. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this letter to the church in Rome, the early church. And it's always interesting as we read this and we think, okay, this was 2,000 years ago-ish. And isn't it interesting that we deal with a lot of the same stuff that's in this letter that Paul's giving warnings on, especially that in verse 17 there. And we'll get there. But we're going to look at the last chapter, and as we finish up, it's been a long journey getting here. It's been a wonderful journey. It's been a lot of positive, and I pray that it has been for you. In this letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome, you know, unique in many ways, one that he had never been to Rome as of yet. He didn't start that church. You know, so many of the letters Paul wrote, the other letters he wrote, were to specific churches that he had been to or had a really big hand in. And Paul was definitely impacted, though. As we get to the end of this letter, he spends this personal greeting, as the heading says, to the church, just letting the church there know of so many people that it impacted his life, his ministry, and reminder to them that they were all important. There wasn't one that was more important than the other, but they all had a part to play. And this, again, this final proclamation of unity is a good one to remember as we live in this 21st century where right now I'm not sure there's anything that many people agree on. You can't agree on everything, I realize that, but right now, especially in our political landscape, it's almost a challenge by the news media to try to come up with a dissension. And sadly, it's worked its way into the church as well in different ways. We get off topic a little bit, and Paul just is reining it in and saying, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the utmost importance. Everything else hinges on this message, and it is the main thing, and we should be keeping it as such. And he reminds the church to keep an eye out for false teachers, as we should be always comparing whatever we read and hear and see out in the world and running it through the lens of Scripture, running it through the filter of Scripture. What does God's Word say? And whenever there is a discrepancy, we err on the side of God's Word. So as we jump in here, I'm going to read these first 16 verses, and at first glance, a lot of it looks like just a list of names. But I want you to listen, because when Paul communicates something, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's in God's Word on purpose. And so it might look like a list of names, but it's important. So let's start off in verse 1 of chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I'll butcher that if I got it wrong. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me, not only I, but the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ of the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love, to the Lord. Greet Urbanus, a fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. But you know, I'm going to pause there for a minute. How am I doing with pronouncing names? Am I doing all right? Angelo, next week he's going to do the scripture reading. All right. You're probably on a shift next week, aren't you? Yeah, okay. That's okay. I apologize. But catch a bit. Verse 11, greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet the A name, Philgen, Hermas, I'm going to pause again. This is really, I hope that you understand this is just a good lesson, right? We all can't pronounce all these names, and I practiced. It might not sound like it, but I did. But this is important. Trust me. Remember, these names are here. It's important. Let's try to finish this up. Verse 15, greet Philogis, Julia, Narcissus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. You know, if I added this all up right, there was 26 or so people, 9 women listed, and these people had a very important part in what the ministry was of Jesus Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see many things in there, and in some places, this is the only place where these names are mentioned. You know, we're not sure what, you know, the person who saved Paul's life, we're not sure what part they played, but we know that it's true, it's here. And we see that there's really just some important reminders about ministry. What comes off the page to me is really there's 3 things, and I'll give you these, and then I'll go back to them in a minute. But the number one thing that I see out of this passage so far is that ministry is not a solo act. Ministry is not a solo act. You know, I have great appreciation. I give Angelo a hard time, but it's not easy to stand up here and play lead electric guitar and sing at the same time and try to be the only voice that everybody's hearing. That's a talent and a gift that he has that he's sharing with us, and he's faithfully serving so many times. And the other members of the worship team, we couldn't do it. John, I can't even tell you about John. He makes us sound so much better than we really are. And Kathy and others to do the words in the back and allow the streaming and the greeters and the Sunday school teachers. Like, it's very clear that ministry is never a solo act. Paul was faithful and obedient to the very end. But many people impacted his life, and he never lost sight of how big God was. He was grateful, and he expounded on this. And he said, whether in provision, serving alongside, he just understood what it was that God was trying to do. And he realized that ministry is not a solo act. He got encouragement from many people. He got support. He got love. He even had his life saved, as it says. And even in prayer, by serving God, he realized that it was not a solo act. Paul, if anything, was very, very clear that of 2 things. His ministry was all about the gospel, 100%. Everything depended on that. And the second is that his ministry was not a solo act. God did amazing and powerful things through that man, but it was never about what Paul was doing. It was about who he was serving and who he was serving along with. He was dependent on God completely. And this showed in his understanding and his appreciation for others. You know, on a personal note, I could tell you story upon story of the ministries that happened just at this church and in the community, and how people are working behind the scenes, where God is working in their life and God speaks to them and says, hey, I think you should do this. And they come with this idea, and I will usually say, okay, you're in charge. Let's see how we're going to do this. And then we do amazing things that are they're not even on my radar. The pack the rack in the back we just got done doing, I told you about last week, 41 boxes or more of clothing donated to give to a ministry. That was because somebody was faithful and said, I think we should do this. There's story upon story. When I showed up in the middle of the week and the lawn is mowed, I didn't ask somebody to mow the lawn. It gets done. Why? Because people are serving in their capacity. People saying, I'll help here, whatever you need. So let us never forget that ministry is never a solo act. And let me just say, you should be very grateful that this church doesn't just depend on me. You should be grateful that God has got his hand in this. And we should always be thankful for what he's doing. Ministry is not a solo act. The second thing that jumps off of this page to me is this idea of understanding and reading of God's Word. We'll get into this a little bit later in the chapter, but our devotion to reading God's Word is a strong indicator of actual spiritual growth. You know, Paul's writing this letter. He's writing this letter. He's dictating this letter. It's been written and it's being given to the church in Rome. And they may not have realized it at the time, perhaps, but we now know that this is God's very word through Paul. And that this reading or this listening of the word in those days and these days of reading the word is so very important. And I think that perhaps our dedication to reading and studying God's word is perhaps the biggest indicator in our lives of how we're doing spiritually. I heard a stat this week that was just kind of, I'm not sure, you know, I looked into it and it seems like it's legit, but this is what they said. Only about 40% of professing Christians read their Bible once a week, at least once a week. 40%. So, you know, me, Mr. Numbers guy, I go, well, that means 60% is not reading our Bible on a weekly basis. And I think in my mind, if we are not reading God's Word regularly and consistently, I'm not going to give you a number. I think it should be every day to the best of our ability. But if I stood up here and told you that I read God's Word every day, I wouldn't be telling you the truth. Some things happen and life happens and, you know, we're a sinful creation and things happen and we get distracted, we get busy. Not to make excuses, but the key is regularly and consistently. Regularly and consistently. And if we're not doing that, my question is really to me first, but then to everybody, how committed are we really to growing spiritually? You know, if I told you that I was super committed to being a mechanic, I'm going to be a mechanic, first you would probably laugh because you know me. But if I told you that and then you said, well, what are you studying to learn that? Well, I'm just going to occasionally YouTube it. I might ask my son Tyler because he's got more knowledge now than I do. But I'm going to be a great mechanic. What would you say? I see the head shaking in the back. Not really, right? We're not committed. You're not super committed. If I said anything, if you were going to be a really great something, or if you were really committed, Olympic swimmer. Okay, don't laugh. If I told you I was going to be an Olympic swimmer and I was going to compete in the next Olympics, and then you said, well, how devoted are you to your schedule? How much are you swimming? Once in a while, occasionally, whenever I can. You'd probably laugh me off the stage. My girls are both laughing at me right now, and I know why. Because I've said we're going to try to run this half marathon in September. Don't ask me how many times I ran this last week because it would be very disappointing. But do you get the point? The point is this, is that we are to be devoted to God's Word is a key element. And in fact, I'm going to say it's essential to being a Christian, to following Christ. Spending time in God's Word is the most trusted and direct method that we have to learn about God. Why is this important? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us this, a common verse you've probably heard, all scripture is God-breathed. In other words, it's from Him. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God, and you could say the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Back to the mechanic analogy, if I told you I was going to be a mechanic and I had a manual that told me everything I could possibly need to know about being a mechanic and I never opened it, I would question how much I wanted to be a mechanic. Now, I'm not here to tell you that if you ask every single question you could possibly come up with is going to have a verse that's directly linked to it, but what I'm telling you is this is God's manual for how we ought to live. Yes, it has some definite clear don't do these things. It has some definite clear do these things. But it also has some general principles that we apply to our life. And, you know, one of which is loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, everything we do should be about service to Him. And let me tell you this, too. In a world of TikTok, YouTube, you name it, Insta or Instagram, whatever they're calling it today, there are a lot of people out there telling you things. There's a lot of things that we have access to on our phones that are can be very, very helpful. There's great YouTube videos about how to fix things and how to do just about anything. But the problem is that if we just look at those videos and that's all we're consuming, that's why Paul is writing this letter. And at the end, he tells us to be worried. Don't listen to the false teachers. Well, how do we know if they're false unless we know God's word, unless we have put it on our heart and let it be our guiding force? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 also has this. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart." See, there's a reason why when we're given the armor of God, the only real offensive weapon that we have is the sword of the Spirit, right? God's word. That is how we are to able to determine what is a good thing, what is not a good thing. It even helps us judge our own thoughts, because sometimes you'll hear today so many times, and I'm not criticizing because I've said this myself, but I feel like God told me to do something. If you've lived long enough, and if you've had any kind of relationships with other people or your own self, you realize that sometimes our feelings don't always tell us the truth. We are sinful in nature, and the only way we can know, the only way we can judge is by looking at those ideas, those thoughts. And don't hear me wrong, God could speak directly to you. He can give you a premonition. I mean, I've had ideas that I was like, whoa, where did that come from? Because I'm not smart at all, and that was a really cool idea, and I think it was from God, but what did I do? I stopped, and I, you know, run that through the lens of Scripture. Run that through what God's word says. And if any premonition or something that someone else tells you goes against what God's word clearly lays out, then that's where we should, the red flags go up, and we should pause and let it help us discern what we are doing. We are human. We are sinful. We're selfish and corrupt individuals, and we need God, and we need God's word on a regular basis. Let it permeate our soul. Let it fill the inner recesses. Let it consume and fill our minds and our hearts, and let that be the motivation of what we are looking for. And this is critical as we realize that ministry is not a solo act. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it without God and many others, but we also realize that God's word is where we need to be rooted in. And finally, the third thing that I see in this passage so far is investing in meaningful relationships for accountability is necessary. Investing in meaningful relationships for accountability is necessary. Paul rattles off a whole list of people's names and churches that are meeting. And these are people that not only did Paul invest his life into, but they clearly invested their life in Paul. You know, I've got a couple of accountability guys that I meet on a regular basis. You know, one is once a month, one is usually once a week, the other is about once a week, and they're all different kind of spheres in my life. And they're one particular, the guy I meet once a month, is we've been best friends since college, and even though we haven't seen each other face to face, but maybe one time in the last 8 years, we've seen each other a lot in video chat. And I think you know what I mean. Sometimes you have that friend that it doesn't matter how much time or distance travels, you two are like lockstep. He's also in the ministry, and so we meet regularly, we pray together, and we ask each other the tough questions. I think what's important from this element is not only do we need relationships, but we need accountability in those relationships. And it's not possible to read this passage and believe that Paul did not have this in his life. And we must also find a way to put this into our action in our life. We need others in what I would like to call a covenant relationship, a relationship where we're committed to helping each other. And there's a couple of critical things about this that is important to remember. These relationships are to be same sex, so guys with guys, girls with girls. I think they're critical. I think that they need to happen regularly. I'm not going to tell you every week. Again, it just depends on schedule and what works. Sometimes these groups can be 2 to 4 people, and that's okay. Other times it's easier to just have one-on-one. Everybody's fancy is a little bit different. You know, I've started calling these battle buddies. We need a buddy that's in our corner that is with us 100% of the time and is willing to call us on when we need to be called, pointing us back to Scripture, but then being there as part of that relationship. Let me speak to the guys just for a minute. Ladies do that a lot better than we do. Ladies are better at that type of relationship, usually that closer. They're better at keeping contact with that person. Guys in general, not all guys, but guys in general struggle with that. And so we really have to make an effort because we need somebody in our life. We need men in our life as men and women as women, and we need this with one another that really know us, that aren't going to tell us what we want to hear, but they're going to tell us what we need to hear. And over the years for me, that has been a tremendous blessing. It's also caused some incredibly hard conversations at times, because if you make a mistake or you stumble, that battle buddy is there to help identify that with you, but then get in the trenches and start praying and working towards a resolution. Just on a personal application, my question for you is, do you have someone in your life that kind of fits that narrative? Do you have somebody that you can call and tell no matter what it is? And you know, marriage relationships, let me just speak to that for a minute. Husband and wife, obviously you guys have a very different relationship, but I can tell you that I think it is important, even in the best of marriages, for guys to have a good guy friend to talk to and girls to have a good girlfriend to talk to. Again, remember, they're going in the same direction. They're believers. There's somebody that is trying to walk the same walk that you're walking, but they're there and they know you and they're able to help you. Maybe you're here today and you're just like, this has been on my heart. This has been something that God's been speaking in my mind, but I don't know anyone well enough to kind of ask them. And let me just ease your fears a little bit. You don't have to walk up to someone and say, Angela, would you be my covenant partner that meets with me every week for the rest of my life? Like, that's probably not a good place to start. It might be more like, hey, Angela, Lord brought you to my heart, and would you mind meeting me for coffee? You know, just talking about that, something to kind of bridge that gap. Or maybe you just aren't comfortable in that situation, and that's okay, and you want help. You want one of either myself or Pastor Dan to kind of help you in that way. So you can fill out a connect card and let us know, and we'll do our best to try to help you connect. Paul's ministry was not a solo act. Devotion to God's word or God's teaching is essential, and we all need accountability. And I think there's a lot to be learned from this list of names that Paul put there. So let me continue on in this passage, starting in verse 17. Paul kind of giving us his final charge. Starting in verse 17, we read this earlier. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent and what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let me pause there for a minute. Okay, like we said, Paul's seeking unity. He's saying this is important. Be centered on the gospel. This is the utmost important. Be on the lookout for false teachers. How many of you believe there's false teachers in the world today? Yeah, I mean, you don't have to spend a lot of time looking. It finds your way. Isn't it interesting? Things like that find your way into your Facebook feed more than what you really want to see. Makes you wonder. But this world is actively propagating the false teachers of today. But the scary part is that this is sometimes it's not always 100% identifiable right away. Someone might say something that sounds really good, and you're like, okay, yeah, I can get behind that. And then you start to listen, and at some point, there's usually that moment where you're like, ooh, I don't think that's right, but let me go look. When we find ourselves in those moments, I want to implore you that if you are able to, and you know, there's a lot of great tools out there for searching God's Word. Maybe you're looking, you know, in the back of your Bible, you might have a concordance or a dictionary. If you hear a key word and you're like, I don't know that that's right. You can always jump to there. There's a lot of really good apps out there, the Bible Gateway app, the Blue Letter Bible app. There's several of them that have these additional tools that you can look up key phrases and try to decipher the scripture that goes in there. You can talk to, say, maybe a trusted friend, someone that you're like, they might be a little further along or they might have a better idea. Maybe your spouse. Me, Dan, the pastor, if you have any question, I'm never going to lie to you and tell you I'll have all the answers right away because that's not going to be the truth. But I can tell you this, that if you have a question for me, we will get to the bottom of it. And we'll try to work our way through helping that understanding to work. The scariest teachings that are heresy seem so close to the truth, but are missing a key point here or there. The bottom line is back to the point above, is that knowing God's Word, reading God's Word, understanding God's Word, understanding that this book is one big story that God has written about His interaction with humanity. And you know, starting in June, we're going to be going through a high-level flyover view, is what I call. We're going to be going through a high-level flyover from Genesis to Revelation. We're going to take 31 weeks, and we certainly can't cover everything, but we're going to really try. I'm going to try to convey to you this idea that God's story is written. God's story, we know what's going to happen in the end, and we know that if we understand what God's story is, what His character is, the qualities of God, we can better understand the world that we live in, and we can realize, and we can even begin to understand of how our story, how our gospel story fits into God's big story. And this idea that from the very beginning, when He created the heavens and an earth, and it started out good, sin entered the world and boogered it up the rest of the way. But in that moment, God revealed that there was a plan for a Savior. And everything He did and His character is revealed throughout the entire Bible. And so I believe one of the key points is understanding better what that big story is, at least from a high-level flyover view, that you can say, yeah, I can understand God's holiness, God's justice, God's faithfulness, all of the character qualities of God, and you can kind of connect those to an element of Scripture that's there that shows us how God, who He is, and how He works. And we can know His Word better, and we can know the totality. See, because when we're studying God's Word, we have to be super careful. We want to understand the context of the original letter, the original person, you know, the original writing and who it was written to. But we also have to understand that no one verse is isolated. Every verse is connected, and it's all a part of God's big story. It's a strong reminder to us in these verses that God wins. Amen? God wins in the end, and we have tremendous hope. And in this hope, we can rest in Him. And verse 20 again says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." God has won. God has won, and we can hold true to that. That no matter what this world looks like, no matter what's going on, and we've still got work to do that we're called to do, but God's big story is already written. And if you want to read in Revelation, it tells us that God wins and has defeated Satan, and finally we'll throw him away someday, and then we'll be with him, worshiping him forever. So in the last couple verses, Paul again goes back to thanking a few people, and he gives this final prayer, if you will, at the end. So let's finish this out, starting in verse 21. It says, "Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as does Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tetrius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I am and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings. Now, to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by this command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey Him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ." Now Paul gives one last shout out here to several who had direct impact on this letter. And the glory, again, of course, is always given to the Lord Jesus for this. If you're following along there, noticing on the screen, did anyone notice what verse 24 said? Did you see verse 24? How close were you paying attention? We put it. It's not up there, right? So, in case you're wondering, because that's where my brain goes, but there's this phrase, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Does appear in some later transcripts, but not in the earliest of transcripts. So that's why in translations like the NIV, the ESV, you won't see that in there. In the King James and the New King James, you do see that in there. It's not seen in the earliest transcripts, but it is in the later transcripts. And so, just in case you were curious, closing takeaways for me are this. Verse 19 told us to be obedient, to be faithfully obedient in our life. And in this reliance of God, He will give us patience and comfort and discernment. Our hope is only found in Him, and that is who we rely on for everything. And finally, God brings the peace that allows us to follow Him. He is the reason we do what we do, and He is the reason we're able to do what we do. He provides the strength. He provides all that we need in this world to be able to be faithfully obedient to Him. In a world that is all about the phrase, "What have you done for me lately?" we are so oftentimes judged by what we do or don't do. And this oftentimes spills or floods into even our relationship with God. We feel that we must do stuff, see visible results. That is great, but not the end all. Results are and can be an indicator of growth for sure. And I would argue that if there's not fruit of the Spirit, those things aren't happening, then you could question if the relationship. It's not that we shouldn't do stuff, but doing stuff is not what is the mention of obedience. We are to be an obedient person following whatever God has asked us to do, especially when it's not popular. In our faithful obedience, God can really work in and through us. And He is most definitely all that we need. And let me leave you with this. Knowing God's Word and living it is what we are to be about. With the time that we have given to us on this earth, we are to be faithful and obedient and seek after the Lord and the Lord only. You know, Jesus is teaching on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6, He has this famous phrase. So in chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, he says this, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." How many of you guys today are struggling with something? How many of you are struggling with feeling like it's a rat race? You feel like you're running around. You're always trying to do stuff, but are you really ever accomplishing anything? We're in a stressful time financially because we realize that everything is infinitely more expensive than it was even 5 years ago. And so the last time I checked, most of our paychecks haven't gone up the same amount that the food has gone up. And so we're left to try to make this work and rely on God to provide. And it could cause us to worry. It could cause us to say, "Hey, I don't know what I'm doing." And we look at our political system and it really makes us want to throw it out and get really worried and go, "What's going on? Is God here?" And Jesus is reminding the people, the early people that heard Him first, listen, don't worry about the stuff of this world. He didn't say don't do what you're responsible or what you're supposed to be doing. He just said don't let it worry you. He gave the example of the sparrow or the flower that was clothed and beautiful, and God took care of them and pointed out the fact that we are so much more valuable than even those. But in seeking God, we are to seek God and to be faithful and obedient to Him. As the worship team comes forward, my challenge for you today is this. Is there something that God's placed on your heart? Maybe it's an accountability partner. Maybe it's a ministry that He's put in your mind that He wants you to step forward and say, "Hey, Pastor Gary, I think this would be a great idea." Maybe it's, I need to be in my Bible more consistently, so I'm going to tell somebody and they're going to help hold me accountable, and I'm going to be in God's Word on a regular and consistent basis. I don't know what it is, but I pray that this message from Paul that helps us realize that we're not in this battle alone, we need to be in God's Word, and we need to be about our Father's business. Let that motivate us. So as you get to your feet and we sing this final song, very fitting, every hour of every day, we need you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.